is the Careering into Motherhood podcast with me, Jane Johnston. We've got something a bit different today, given it's the summer holidays. My guest is Rachel Allen. Rachel runs a business helping mums to get themselves online, ready for dating, taking the fear out of online dating. She uses her own experience that she's learned over the last few years after she and her husband split up. She had just resigned from her job and was about to start freelancing, a decision that she and her then husband had taken so that she would have the flexibility to be looking after her son. She wasn't really thinking at the time that she'd be leaving her marriage and needed to support her son by herself. Rachel has lots of light-hearted but also some serious messages that she's learnt as a result of her experience. If you've been affected by any of the issues we talk about today, including stalking and narcissistic partners, please do make sure you get some proper support. Don't suffer alone. Rachel, welcome to the podcast.
So, hi, thank you for having me. My name's Rachel Allen and I am a business owner. So I run a coaching business called Making Business Social. I have an online community called Stop Dicking Around Online. I'm also a single mum to a little boy of 9. And in the 7 years since I've been running my business, I have also been online dating. So I separated from my ex-husband at around the same time I started my business. So Jane and I had a brief business related conversation and it led into my little side hustle situation going on, which is called Stop Dicking Around Online Dating. So I think whilst your community is very much aimed around sort of mums and women in business, I think there is a number of women who I've found connected who are business owners and single mums, and people find online dating a horrible, awful place. It can also, in my situation, finally after 7 years, I've met somebody amazing. So it's really nice to be able to talk about some of my experiences, which I hope will help others.
Really? So you've met someone as a result of, I guess, putting your strategies into practice.
Yeah. So I was looking for somebody very particular and I've got a lot of dates. And I found people to be very bit nothing. There was no reason to see them again. They were quite pleasant. I mean, I've had some awful dates. I've had some really awful, awful experiences. People who have been not nice people.
Oh, right.
And as a nice person, I don't understand that people may not act honourably. Mm. However, that's another conversation. There's a whole set of red flags and things that if you're dating, particularly if you're dating with children, you do need to be very careful of. But we're going to keep this quite light and breezy. So I was looking for somebody and I couldn't quite put my finger on what was missing. And I had a date with a guy and he kind of said he wanted to see me again. And I wasn't, at the time of the date, I wasn't getting that vibe at all. I didn't think we matched at all. So I was quite surprised. And I said, look, our lifestyles are very different. I am looking for, or I was and have found somebody with a child. He didn't have children. Our lifestyles weren't very compatible. And when I said to him, look, good luck, I don't want to see you again. I'm always very nice. I always give nice feedback to
people.
Yeah, I
can imagine you
would. And he said, he then backtracked and said, I'm looking for somebody with some oomph.
Ooh.
And I was like, so I did a Facebook Live to say, guys, someone said that I'm not very oomphy. What do you think I am? And everyone was like, you're a solid 8 out of 10 on oomph. And I was like, oh my God, that's the missing ingredient. That is what I'm looking for. I am looking for a guy with oomph. And people are like, what is oomph?
Yeah, what is oomph, Rachel?
Oomph is, well, you can define it. It's like a je ne sais quoi. It's like a zest for life. And I think that sums it up. I'm looking for somebody who's passionate about what they do. It doesn't matter what they do. My boyfriend has quite a boring job, but he loves it. He gets to travel. He's developing and building a team and leading technological digital innovations. And I don't really understand what he does, but I love hearing him talk about it. You know, so he's very oomphy career-wise. He wants to travel. He wants to go off and do things. He likes us with our children going off to do things. So in terms of oomph, we're a match. So what oomph is in the eye of the beholder. What might be oomph for one person might not be oomph for somebody else. It's what you make it. Yeah, I think it's really important to identify, if you are online dating, what are the characteristics you're looking for? And if someone isn't displaying those characteristics, you've got to move on.
Yes, definitely. Talking of oomph, I remember, so I met my husband online many years ago now on Match.com, and we arranged to meet at this bar in Soho. Obviously, it was before kids and everything. And I just remember he did not stop talking. And I actually thought, oh my God, this guy must be on drugs or something. He was talking a million miles an hour and didn't pause for breath. And then I convinced myself he must be like on cocaine or something. And later, obviously, we then got to have a chat. And he admitted he was just really, really nervous. But I think, you know, he was so enthusiastic about everything that made me think, oh, okay, yeah, we'll give this a second go.
And I think a lot of business owners are like that. They're passionate. They're solution-centred. They want to go. They're like, what's next? They're not chilling out particularly type of people. You know, as an entrepreneur, I mean, my boyfriend isn't an entrepreneur, but, you know, he's very into growth mindset. We talk a lot about psychology and human design. And I didn't send him the Are You a Narcissist quiz. I have done that in the past.
You sent that to someone before you've been on a date with them?
No. No, it was somebody that I was dating and we had talked about narcissism and we both did the quiz and we were both okay, so that's fine. But no, we do talk about like attachment styles and things like that, and how we need to show up in a relationship, how we communicate in a relationship, and these are really important things. And I can see now, having done a lot of this work about myself and what I'm looking for, I can see now why, you know, my relationship with my son's father didn't work out. I'm really pleased that I had the courage to leave that relationship that wasn't serving me. And I do believe that me and my ex-husband are both better parents to our son as a result. You know, it was a really challenging time for me when I left, because I literally was in the middle of my notice period from my job. You know, there's the straw that broke the camel's back. I mean, in our instance, he wouldn't come out for a curry. We call it curry gate. It sounds utterly ridiculous, but you know when you go, this isn't working anymore. As hard as it is, I think generally one person, when I went through therapy, they did say one person is typically the one that's leading the desire for therapy, which was me, but also the person that calls time. I think one person's just happy to coast through a relationship. One of the other people isn't. And I think it's about how you extract yourself from that relationship without doing any long-term damage. And, you know, making sure that you're protecting yourself, acting honourably and doing the best thing, the right thing for your child. I think I really struggled with this sort of notion that I had to stay to make it work for my son, whereas actually what my son needs is healthy relationships modelled. Yeah. I can't control what he sees at his father's house. It's very different to what is modelled in my house. However, me and my husband, we do co-parent pretty well together. I'm grateful for that. If we have an issue with discipline, generally we're on the same page. We sit down with our son together and we try to operate parallel standards. For example, loading the dishwasher, if that's a job that he needs to do, he will do that at both houses.
That must be really hard. That's interesting, yeah. Because you can't have, you know, one parent who doesn't see the child so much, maybe just at weekends or something, that parent being sort of very indulgent on the child, and then it comes back to you. And you're saying, oh, do your homework, do the dishwasher, yeah, make your bed, etc.
So my son is with his father 5 nights out of 14. So it's not 50-50, but it's very regular. My ex-husband is one of the football coaches as well, so he sees his dad a lot then. Wow. He has a phone so he can have direct contact. That's quite a new thing, but that's good because it reduces the need for me to contact my ex-husband. They can just have little chats and they send each other WhatsApps about football. You know, it's about fostering the best relationship you possibly can whilst also making sure that you're going out and having a good time. And I think for any women who may be experiencing a split, I often see online people asking for advice. They're splitting up with a partner. I would say get legal advice and protect yourself financially, just because people say, oh, we don't want lawyers. I've known women longer down the line who have gone, I didn't take the advice, or I took bad advice, or I didn't ask for advice. And now financially, I'm in a really vulnerable position and I'm facing retirement and I've still got money outstanding on my mortgage. You know, protect yourself now to make sure that you're doing the right thing. Don't think that somebody's going to look after you.
It's really important, isn't it? It's such an issue for women as well. Financial security, whether it's pensions, whether it's, as you say, looking after yourself in a divorce, so important.
Particularly, if you're not in sort of standard employment. And obviously, for example, you know, any times I've had lean times in my business over the last 7 years, and there have been times, what's the first thing I stop? My pension contribution.
Yeah.
So then I'm not putting in, no employer puts in. So from a pensions perspective, that's something, as you know, I'm 41, something that I do need to be quite conscious of. But at the same time, it's how do I make sure that, you know, we're living in the moment and, you know, having a good time, and I'm able to balance flexibility and making sure I've got a nice home and fun experiences for my son, because he's 9 at the moment and he still wants to hang out with mummy and do fun stuff. There'll be a time where he's a big sulky hairy teenager and he won't want to see me anymore. But you do need to sort of balance out that short term and that longer term view. One piece of advice for anybody who's kind of trying to maybe rebuild their life, particularly if they have experienced a split from a partner. I remember being given a piece of advice by the guy that actually took my job when I left my job. I was inducting him as I was going through the marriage breakdown. And he said, don't be a martyr to your children. A lot of women, I think, try to make it difficult for their ex to have access to the children. And unless they're dangerous to be around, you have to let some stuff go. It's not going to be exactly the same in daddy's new house with daddy's new partner as it is in your house, okay? And I think what's helped me is finding other single mums. So we go out together with our children, because you go to the theme park or you go to the normal park or swimming pool and you see all these happy families and you're there with your child on your own. And probably people just, if they even acknowledge you, they're probably going, oh, your husband's at work or doing something else or what have you. But you just feel a little bit awkward because you're there with your child on your own. Trying to just get over that judgment of what other people think. Who cares? Go out and have that fun time with your kids. But equally, when it's your weekend where your children are visiting their father, try and do as much fun stuff as possible. Okay, so I have a rule, unless it's really necessary, I don't spend that weekend doing cleaning or housework, because actually I think it's better that my child sees me do that. I remember once he was about 2 and I got the ironing board out and he went, Mummy, what's that? He'd never seen me iron. So I don't want him to grow up thinking this magic fairy comes in, because my priority as a mother is to make sure that I'm, say, modelling, you know, real life experience. You know, women have careers. They're not these magic fairies that come in and clean up everywhere.
True. It's so true. And I guess the tendency must be when he's not there, it is amongst all of us, when they're not around, whether they're at school or whatever, you go, quick, I'll just like whack the Hoover round now. But actually,
quick, whack the Hoover round to make it tidy, fine, but don't spend your Saturday morning cleaning when your children aren't there, because actually that's your time to do some self-care, whatever that looks like for you. Go to that yoga class, have the coffee with your friend, go out for a really long hike, explore some hobbies. There's so many, and that's one thing I love about the internet, is there's so many hobbies and groups and opportunities. Even if you are on your own, take that step, because there's so many people out there who say, oh, I was so afraid to go to this group or that group, and I've met these really awesome people. Okay, try and find your tribe. That's another reason why I'm sort of helping men and women with their online dating, because actually a lot of people in their friendship groups maybe met somebody at school or college or university or in the workplace in their early 20s, and they've been in long-term relationships 10, 15, 20 years. So they don't know what online dating's like. They just think it's this wonderful, oh, you might get a you-know-what pick. And it's like, no, there's great people on there. You know, I've met my boyfriend, I'm really happy. But you need to be really, really careful on there. And actually, even if these people aren't necessarily dangerous, they could still, the emotional damage,
you know, really
in a good, strong position about this. I remember a guy wanted my phone number after only a few messages. And that was on match.com, actually, when it was on the app, not the website. And he wanted my phone number. And I said, I'd rather have a bit more of a conversation with him rather than giving him my phone number. And he said, oh, don't bother. I'm looking for somebody funny, intelligent and attractive, and you are neither. And I'm like,
oh my God.
And some people, that would absolutely destroy them. Yes. So hurtful. But I just think he's some little prick who's had his feelings hurt by somebody because I've put a boundary in place. And his little inner child's thrown his toys out of the pram, so he's just been mean to me. I'm pretty okay with myself because I've done a lot of work on myself, and I just think he's an idiot and his opinion is nothing. So I don't care about that.
But if you've just come out of a relationship and you're still dealing with that breakdown, and then you get this, because, I mean, he won't be the only one who sends those kind of messages either. So if you get a few of those...
And if you've maybe had somebody ghost you or stood you up on a date, or where you've liked somebody and they've not liked you back, which is cool. Online dating is an opportunity to meet people that you wouldn't otherwise meet. I've had times where I've gone, I'm not online dating anymore, I hate it.
People clearly don't suddenly find themselves a single mum and jump straight online. You must have been through quite a lot of learning in the last few years.
Absolutely. So it's been a 7-year journey. So I was in a marriage. We had been married for 8 years. We had a 2-year-old. We'd been together quite a length of time before we got married, three years before we got married. And I always had this passion, this burning to run my own business. So I gave notice on my well-paid corporate job. The world of work was very different then. It was very rigid in the office, 9 to 5. And I wanted to be able to, while my son was little, be able to go to, you know, walk him to school and do all that kind of stuff. Yes. So I took the decision to give up my business, and I had my husband and we had our house and everything. And then during that 3-month notice period, there was this whole issue. There had been issues in our marriage. We were working, we'd been to relate, and we were going back to build on what we'd sort of worked through. And unfortunately, he decided not to come out for a curry with my friends. So I left him because he wouldn't come out for a curry.
I shouldn't laugh.
It's hilarious.
No, I mean, you've obviously got to a point where you can laugh about it, and that's amazing.
Throughout the whole thing, I've always had a dark humour, but you know when you're the only person working towards something? Yeah. And you suddenly realise, hang on, this person is not in this anymore. And I must say that there was a few times over the years, and I was finding myself on Rightmove looking at going, could I afford a house on my own with my son?
Really?
Yeah, the writing was on the wall with it.
Yes.
So my situation was really difficult because in the first 6 months of running my business, I found myself starting divorce proceedings, looking for a new house to live in. And mortgages are really hard to get when you haven't got 2 years of books in your business.
Yes, that's so true.
So I was very fortunate in the client that I was working for at the time put me on PAYE. So that just made that whole issue go away. So I was incredibly lucky, but I wouldn't have the security that I have now in terms of a property that I own fully. My advice to anybody who is fearing this situation is go and get advice before you make a decision.
Yeah.
Also, don't be afraid, because people go, wow, you started a business, you started getting divorced, you moved house in 6 months, you did this as a single parent whilst having to live with my ex-husband. That was not a nice, you know, that was not a nice thing.
Yeah.
It was a horrible time. But you know, the human body is incredible in terms of what it can put up with. There's nothing special about me. I just did what I had to do at that time. And I just look back and I think, I'm so glad that curry happened. If it wasn't the curry, it would have been something else. You know, it's just hilarious that we can call it Currygate. It is a brilliant story. But at the time, it's really disappointing that the fact that you're saying to the person that you thought loved you, this is important to me, I feel lonely in our marriage and I want you to come. And he refuses and says, there'll be consequences, but I don't care. you don't see your son every day. So, yeah. However, saying that, my ex-husband wasn't the partner for me on many levels. He's wonderful with our son. I feel he is a much better parent to our son on his own. He now has another partner that he lives with and has a child with. So my son has a half sister. We have the odd grumble about money, but other than that, we generally get on fine. Sometimes there's differences of opinion over things like discipline. It's more a case of if there's a discipline issue with our son, I would ask my ex to come and sit down and back me up. So our stance is the same on what we're expecting our son to do, which is he's nine. Like, tidy some stuff up, you know, you're not a lord. I'm not waiting on you hand and foot. You know, my job as a mother and his job as a father is to sort of set our son up well to thrive adult life.
So that's a really interesting point. And as I say, I don't know if I'm just bringing my own sort of family emotional baggage to this, but I probably is just because I spend more time Monday to Friday with our son. And so I am probably the one who plays more of a role in terms of telling him what to do, sort of tidy your bed, tidy your room, pick up things after you leave them behind and so on. And I suppose if one parent is seen as more indulgent than another, if those two parents don't live together, that potentially compromises the relationship with the child and that parent. So it's really interesting that you've already picked up on that and you've spoken to your ex-husband about it and you're now both on the same page.
I find it, as a single mum, you've just got so much to do all the time. The entire running of the house is down to you paying the bills, you know, earning the money to pay the bills, buying all the food, sorting out the garden, putting the bins out. It's all on you. And I find it quicker and easier. And I've fallen into this routine where I've just started doing everything. And I read a really interesting chapter in a book by Dawn O'Porter. She's a journalist married to Chris O'Dowd. Her work is wonderful. Women of our generation, like, her books are just hilarious and perfect. She makes this point about your responsibility as a mother in terms of showing to your children sort of like how to work and operate as a team. And my ex-husband and I, to a certain extent, we did work well together in terms of, you know, I could project manage the extension build, he could pay all the bills. So he was very attention to detail down here and I was sort of more big picture strategic thinking. However, we just ended up doing everything separately. There was no, let's sit down and figure this stuff out together. That was one of the things that I was missing. So I've ended up just doing all this stuff. So now I'm trying to go, okay, it's going to take twice as long to get the bins done. Actually, that's a job that my son can do and he needs to do it and not resent the fact that I'm pulling him off of his gaming time or what have you.
I want to just come back to that point. You were talking about how things sound very amicable with your ex. Mm-hmm. Was that something when, after Currygate, was there a time when it was very angry and hurtful? Or did you just come back from Currygate and kind of go, okay, let's sit down, let's calmly talk this through? Or I've just finished watching The Split, which I was slightly obsessed with.
Yeah. Great show. I don't think we're at that level. So I've got a friend, she's of similar age to me, and her husband, his parents split when he was nine. So we're talking about 35 years ago. Mm. And even now, his parents, they couldn't have a top table at the wedding.
Really?
Because they couldn't be at a table together. Mm. When their little boy has birthday parties, they have to have the grandparents in shifts.
Yeah.
Because 35 years on, and his mother, who's remarried, still talks about it. And I was just like, I don't...
It can't be that couple.
I'm on a podcast talking about it, but I don't want to be that person. So we have hosted birthday parties together. We're both there. His partner comes. I've had various partners throughout that time and they've been there. There's never been any jealousy. He did say to me once, oh, good luck meeting someone else. And then I met someone first, but that was a disaster. So as it turned out, it's all fine. Do you know what? I mean, I have blocked him on WhatsApp because when he starts going, hey, have you given me the money for this? Have you given me the money for that? And he's topped his pension up of his choice and reduced the child maintenance. Mm. And that's allowed. you know, so I have blocked him on WhatsApp because it's really easy on WhatsApp to start having these nasty conversations, whereas on text, you're a bit more like, we literally on text just talk about what we need to.
Do you? That's really interesting. So you think WhatsApp is much more emotional?
It's a lot easier platform to just have this back and forth, whereas with text, it's all just slowed down. You know, we have our routine. So my son sees his father very regularly, several times a week. He has a long weekend. They can go on holiday together, which is completely cool. I really want that. I want them to have this great relationship. I need the break. My son needs that, that influence. There are still niggles. It's not perfect. Yeah. We're not going to be like, what was it, Nathan? And what was the lady called in the split?
Oh, I don't know.
I can't remember her name now. Nicola Walker. It's not
Nicola,
like
yeah.
Nicola Walker. I can't remember what she was called. We're not going to be on holiday together. However, you know, when our son gets married, if he does, or when he signs for a Premier football team, we will both be there. We can stand there together. We can attend parents' evening together. It's all fine. And that's the most important thing. It is really hard sometimes when he's saying, can I have this? Can I have that? And I'm like, no, you don't.
Yeah.
It's really hard to kind of hold some of that stuff in because unfortunately my son thinks the sun shines out of his father's.
But that's what you want, surely. Well, I mean, I guess that's what you want if they've not weren't a wife beater or a murderer.
Let's just put it into perspective here. My ex is mildly annoying. I've got to the point where I don't care. He's regular. He's reliable. If he says he's going to have him, he turns up. He does it. He's never let me down. He is great. He does loads of cool stuff with our son. Do I approve of everything that goes on in his household and every decision that he makes? No. But, you know, my son loves going to him. They're very close. If he hasn't been able to see him, like, for example, during COVID, there's been times where he hasn't been able to see him. I notice a change in his behaviour and I'm like, he really needs to see his dad now. So I make sure that that's possible anytime, you know, and I am in an incredibly fortunate position in that although my ex is irritating and he does nothing to help me on a personal level, he does nothing to make my life as our son's mother easier.
Yeah,
it could be a whole bunch worse. So I am grateful for that.
So you started to date yourself. That's what's now become your business. I want to have a little chat about that. At what point did you think, okay, I'm going to get myself online, start finding somebody new? How soon after you left?
So I thought I'd have a little bit of fun about 6 months after. So I'd moved into my house. Emotionally, I hadn't been particularly nurtured, let's just say, in my marriage. So I wanted a bit of attention and I went on Tinder and I was like, it's just going to be fun. Let's just go on some dates. So off
and dick pics. Did you get dick
on
pics?
Tinder.
That's all I think of when I think of Tinder. Or the Tinder swindler.
I've met some horrendous people. So I have eventually met somebody great. So we will circle back to him, but I'm just going to wrap this up very quickly. So I went on one day and ended up in a 2.5 year relationship with the person that I went on my first and only Tinder date with. And 7 weeks before I was due to move in with him, I got an email from a woman
who
had been having an affair with him. She had no idea about me. He pretended he was single the whole time. I feel sick talking about it. I always do. This happened about 3 years ago and I was going through the process of renting out my house to move in with him.
It amazes me that these guys exist and they're just walking around among us.
I know. And he is in a relationship with somebody else now, I believe. She has no idea about this.
So what happened? She phoned you. This other woman phoned you.
No, she sent me an email. Okay, so this email included 2,000 words and 243 screenshots outlining their correspondence in the 2 years since I was dating him. Okay.
Oh, so it was going on the whole time?
The entire time. He didn't get bored of me. He was doing it the whole time. Okay. And your question, have I seen dick pics? Well, she sent me the dick pics of my boyfriend's dick that he was sending her. And her body parts that she was sending him, but she scribbled them out for me. I have the absolute respect for this woman.
Yeah.
Because, and she said, I've given you all of this information, Rachel, because I knew that if there was a bit missing, he could wriggle out of it. Okay.
So she left him as well.
Well, they were never really together. They weren't in a relationship. This was just somebody that they were having a bit of a casual thing with.
Oh, I see.
So, but it was his ex-wife's fault that he did that.
Wow.
I was so messed up after my ex-wife left me.
Oh.
And I was like,
oh, I see.
Yeah, obviously just blame somebody else.
Okay. So that one ended.
So that one ended. I was then stalked by the ex-partner of my boyfriend. So I had to end that relationship, having gone to the police several times.
Oh my God, I feel like this is moving into Stacey Dooley territory now.
If anybody has been stalked, please watch that show.
Yes.
If it's not too triggering. Yes. It is incredible. And it was a shifting point for me where I actually could start to view this woman with slightly more compassion.
Yeah.
However, I don't wish in any way to minimize the impact of stalking. I actually spoke to somebody about stalking. She had been stalked by an ex-partner. It's unusual to be stalked by somebody that you don't know. And she stalked me online. And the police were saying to me, can you come offline? I was like, no, I run a business that relies on social media. I can't do this. She knew where I lived. It was terrifying. That is over. I'm lucky that it's over. It has been over for 2 years.
It's a really good point, actually, although we're sort of, you know, because I know your situation now and you're very happy, you know, we're laughing about some of the things that happened to you, but all of this other stuff being finding out that your partner's been cheating on you or stalking, all of these hideous, hideous things, as you say, you know, if anyone is dealing with that, please, please, we can put some notes in the show notes, but please go and find professional support. It's definitely not a laughing matter.
I can speak about it with empathy, but I feel like these experiences have happened to me and I can use my voice and my ability to tell stories. This is something that I will be writing about to help others, because there were behaviours with my boyfriend who cheated that I ignored because I could not believe, because the last thing on earth I would ever do is cheat, okay? I ended a relationship that wasn't satisfying for me rather than cheat, okay? I would never do that. So I couldn't believe. So these weird behaviours, and I would question them all, and you had a story about every single one of them.
And you end up telling yourself, God, I'm the one who's in the wrong here. I must be crazy, or I must be super suspicious, or
I
must be the one. Yeah.
I was talking to somebody and I've got this voice note and I was saying, I don't trust my own instincts. Trust your instincts. My instincts were trying to tell me something the whole time. It's these experiences that I want to use. Yes, we can laugh about the curry. You know, I want to use these experiences to help other people. A lot of people have said to me, Rachel, you've been through all this really, really traumatic stuff, and I can't believe that you still go out online dating. This is the reality, okay? I know I don't want to sound big-headed, but I'm too fabulous to be on my own, and I see so many lovely people who put this wall around them to protect themselves because of the stuff they've gone through, and they're missing out on something amazing. I'm in a relationship now. It's been nearly 6 months, and it's amazing. I'm so happy. He's everything that I wanted, everything that
that's
I asked
so
for.
Nice. That's so nice.
But I'll explain how I got that in a minute, because that's quite a nice story. And for me, the reality is, you know, I go to the co-op, I go to Aldi once a week, I go to the school run, I work from home online. How am I going to meet a partner?
Yeah, exactly.
Funny enough,
I always used to say when I met my husband online, this was, oh God, over 15 years ago now, I think. So it wasn't quite so common that people were meeting, using online dating and so on. And I remember some of my friends were like, oh God, you know, you don't need to go online, you know, just come out with us. All my friends by then were already married and starting to have families. And so if I was going out, I was going to go and see them because they had newborn babies and we were just staying in, having a couple of glasses of wine, having a catch up. And I said, if you want eggs, you go to the supermarket, right? So if you're looking for a relationship, you go to that marketplace.
Yeah.
And that was effectively what online dating was doing. Now, I know obviously the world's massively moved on in the last 15 years, and I'd be scared to go online now, given what I hear about it. And I suppose that is where you come in taking the fear out of online dating.
So to your point about have you seen dick pics, I haven't ever been sent one unsolicited.
Okay, you know, that's reassuring.
That hasn't happened. So don't think, I don't want to see another man's dick. Like, prepare yourself that there's a possibility, but I would suggest that there would be red flag behaviours leading up to that, and that's what you need to call out. Okay, so my point about online dating, because I speak to men who are going, all the women are awful, and I speak to women who say, all the men are awful. Let's be really clear. There are awful men and awful women on online dating platforms, and awful men and awful women use all of the dating platforms. Okay, so I don't feel that any platform is particularly better than another. It's about finding one that works best for you. So it could be, you know, do I like the user interface? Do I like the fact that the women message first? Whatever that thing is. So try all the platforms, see what feels comfortable. If it feels really uncomfortable, stop. If you go, I'm exhausted by online dating. I've sat there for 3 hours from 8 when my son's gone to bed to 11 when I go to bed, literally glued, swiping. Yeah. Okay. So set some timers, set some parameters around it. Okay. So the thing that changed it all for me was when I outsourced my swiping. So I had a really bad experience last year. I thought I'd met someone really amazing. It was very intense and it was over very quickly, and it really not wobbled me. So in January, I put Bumble on my mum's iPad. She wrote my profile. I had to put the pictures up there because she couldn't manage the technology. So my mum was swiping on Bumble for me.
Mum's know best.
She found me this guy and we had a date, and he there was a picture of him in a gilet, and I wasn't sure. And we'd done a few phone calls and video calls.
Was it the gilet? Was it the gilet that made you unsure?
No judgment on gilets, but the gilet gave me a bit of the ick. So I went on a date with him, but he lacked a bit of oomph. I was a bit like, oh, he was okay. There was nothing wrong with him. But I was like, I just didn't care whether I saw him again or not. So then my friend, who had also recently been online dating, she came over and she was like, I can't believe your mum and the swiping. This is just amazing. So I gave her my phone because although mum was swiping, I was talking to the matches because we decided that that was like legit okay.
Yeah.
And not duping anybody. So, I mean, mother was loving this little foray into online dating in January, you know, when all her friends are like, who have you seen on Bumble? She's like, got all her stories. Anyway, my friend came over for dinner, and while I was then putting my son up to bed, I said to her, I'll have a swipe on my phone. And so I come downstairs like 20 minutes later after putting my son to bed, and she's like, so this guy, he lives in the same town, his son is this age, look at the lights in his living room. She was already having this conversation with him, pretending to be me. And that was 6 months ago, and that is my boyfriend. So,
oh, that's so funny. So you literally have used your friends as the filter, which is what we do if we go out, right?
Yeah, absolutely. So I possibly wouldn't have swiped him because we do live in the same town, which is now super handy. But I was a bit like, I don't really like dating people in my local area. But yeah, it just...
And has he still got the lights in his living room?
He has.
Was it the lights that clinched it?
He does have a bit of a thing about lights. He'd just moved into his house, so he's been doing it up. He's done the typical bloke thing, and he's put in everything that he really needs. 5-6 months in, I was like, I think now's the time to get a light shade for the bedroom, because it just had like a bare bulb. I was like, come on, let's just try and get something done. But he's exactly what I was looking for. He has got his act together. He's got a really great job. He's got his own house. There's no tie with his ex. Things are very amicable with his ex. He sees his son regularly. So they're all things that I needed to have in place after those experiences. After being so hurt and let down by people who did awful things, consciously awful things, despite professing that they love me, I trust him. I don't have a problem if he's going out or doing things or gone offline for a bit, you know, weird little things that could trigger me, I'm absolutely fine. And that's because he makes me feel safe and I completely trust him. So I hope that ending on this story gives people a little bit of faith. I've spent thousands on therapy okay, and getting myself into this place where I'm super comfortable, where when a guy messages me and says, can I have your phone number? And I said, rather chat in the app for a bit longer. And he says, well, actually, I'm looking for somebody funny, intelligent and attractive, and you are neither. I can laugh about that because I just know that that's him projecting because I've hurt his wounded little boy ego. Yeah. It's taken me thousands to get to that point. And there's a meme that goes round. I've realised that I don't need to spend thousands on therapy. I just need to keep away from assholes. And that is so true. And one of the reasons why I think that I can help women of this age, because often, like you were saying earlier, Jane, you know, when you were single 15 years ago, all your friends had newborn babies and stuff. So they were at different stages of their life. Mm. It could be that some of those people now are in their 40, you know, late 30s, 40s, 50s and are finding themselves single. And actually their friends haven't internet dated. They've got no point of reference. They don't understand this landscape. So actually, I can help you to navigate that, because sometimes your friends aren't necessarily the right people to help to see this stuff.
They're not impartial as much as they have your best interests. You know, they think they have your best interests at heart. It is a new landscape, and some of it I find slightly worrying, even the stories you're telling me. But then equally, there's some great stories that you're also recounting. So, yeah, I think it's refreshing to hear someone talking positively and very, very candidly about their experience. So thank you ever so much,
very
Rachel.
Welcome. I
really wish you all the best. I hope I get an invite to the wedding.
Mr. Oomph has never been married. He hasn't ever been oomphy enough to go down the aisle, so we don't know,
I just hope you remain happy.
That's
thank you so much.
Thank you.
Well, that interview went everywhere, from Currygate to Hannah Stern. Rachel was honest and told it how it is, not easy, but survivable. And she's finding happiness where she is right now. So massive thanks to Rachel. We're going to take a few weeks off now over the summer. I hope you all have a chance to do the same, and we'll be back with lots more fascinating guests and some exciting news in September. So thanks so much for listening. As always, please do leave a review and tell your friends if you enjoy listening to our episodes.